Hey everyone, welcome back. We're going deep on tiered assignments today.
Ooh.
We're hoping that by the end of this, you'll have like a really solid understanding of what tiered assignments are, why teachers use them, and then how they actually work, like in a classroom setting.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating how much more personalized learning can be with tiered assignments, right? It's really all about making sure that each student faces the right level of challenge for them.
Because one size fits all rarely works when it comes to learning, right?
Right.
So I'm looking at this TLS strategy overview tiering strategy document.
Okay.
And it seems like there's a whole art to this, but I think before we even get to the how, let's just break down the what.
Yeah, let's define it.
So what exactly are tiered assignments?
So at their core, tiered assignments are providing different paths for students to learn the same fundamental concept or skill. So everyone's aiming for that same learning target, but the complexity of the task is adjusted based on each student's individual readiness.
So it's kind of like everyone's climbing the same mountain, but some might be taking like a steeper trail,
Yes.
while others have a more gradual path.
That's a great analogy.
And the key to choosing the right trail then is this idea of readiness.
Yeah.
But what does that really mean in this context?
So in this context, readiness really refers to a student's current understanding and skill level as it relates to that specific topic being taught.
So it's not about their like overall intelligence or ability.
No.
It's more about where they are at this moment with a particular concept.
Exactly.
Got it.
And to determine that, right now, level teachers use something called formative assessments. And those are those check-ins that we do throughout a lesson or unit to see how students are progressing. Based on those check-ins, we then tailor the learning experience to each student's needs.
So it's like a GPS for learning,
Yes.
constantly recalibrating the route based on that real-time feedback. I
Exactly.
love it.
Yeah.
And speaking of different routes, I'm noticing that this overview mentions that assignments can be tiered by tweaking the material students use,
Yeah.
the level of support they receive, or even the final product that they create.
That's correct. And that flexibility is what makes tiered assignments so adaptable to different learning styles, different subjects, and even different grade levels.
That makes sense.
The document uses the analogy of a ladder. So everyone might be working on the same basic assignment, but some students might be climbing higher on that ladder, facing a bit more challenge, while others are on a lower rung getting the support they need to build a strong foundation.
So we've got a pretty good grasp on what tiered assignments are now,
Yeah.
but why are they such a big deal in education?
Yeah.
Like, why even go through all this trouble?
Well, think about your own learning experiences. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt completely bored because the material was way too easy, or on the flip side, totally lost because it was way over your head?
Oh yeah, for sure. Both those scenarios are recipes for just like checking out completely.
Exactly. And that's what tiered assignments aim to avoid. They're all about hitting that sweet spot of challenge for each student. So we're preventing boredom, we're preventing frustration, and we're keeping everyone motivated to learn.
Okay, so let's say a teacher wants to try out tiered assignments.
Okay.
Where do they even begin?
So there's a general process outlined in that document, the TLS strategy overview. The first step is pinpointing those key concepts or skills for that lesson. Then they use those formative assessments, those check-ins we talked about, to figure out each student's current understanding of those concepts.
So that's how they decide who needs to be on which rung of the ladder, so to speak.
Precisely. Next, they create or choose a base assignment, that core activity that everyone will be working on in some form. From there, they modify that base assignment to create those different levels of difficulty. And finally, based on those formative assessment results, each student is assigned to the appropriate tier.
Wow, that is a lot to juggle, especially with a full classroom of students.
It definitely requires strong classroom management skills and clear communication with students, but it is doable. And to see how teachers are pulling this off in real classrooms, let's dive into some specific examples.
All right, I'm ready for some real-world inspiration. Let's do
All
it.
right, let's do it.
And speaking of inspiring, this first example from a 12th grade sociology class is a great place to start.
Okay.
So Becky Duffy was working with this teacher
Okay.
who wanted her students to explore all these different theories from a book that they were reading.
Okay.
But the teacher was feeling really overwhelmed by the thought of creating multiple assignments.
That's a common concern. I hear that a lot from teachers.
So what did Becky Duffy suggest?
Well, she had a brilliant time-saving strategy.
What was it?
She suggested that they start by designing the assignment for the students who would need the most support,
okay,
what they called the lowest tier.
Got it.
They created a structured activity with really clear directions,
yeah,
specific questions to guide their reading, and even page numbers from the text to help students locate the information they needed.
So providing all of that scaffolding,
yes,
is so crucial for making the learning accessible to everyone.
Absolutely.
And then for the middle tier, they just took copies of that same assignment and made a few tweaks.
Oh.
So they made the questions a little bit more open-ended.
Okay.
And then removed some of the page number supports, which encouraged the students to think a little bit more critically and navigate the text more independently.
It's all about gradually releasing that responsibility,
yeah,
as students demonstrate greater understanding.
So what about the highest tier?
Yeah.
Did they have to create a whole other different assignment for them?
That's a great question.
They took that same base assignment again.
Nice.
Removed all the page number supports.
Great.
And then crafted even more thought-provoking questions that really push students to analyze and synthesize the information in a deeper way.
So instead of creating three completely different assignments, they created one base assignment.
Right.
And strategically modified it for each tier.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic approach.
And I bet the students didn't even realize that their assignments were that different.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you ready for another great example?
I am. Hit me with it. So important to keep those high-achieving students
right,
engaged and challenged. Otherwise, they might get bored and disengaged.
Great example where the teacher was using tiered centers.
Yes, tiered centers.
To differentiate instruction on text structure.
Ah, yes, centers. Such a classic elementary school strategy.
It is.
How did she incorporate tiering into her centers?
It was very strategic.
Okay.
So she used a formative assessment tool called Plickers.
Okay.
To quickly gauge which students needed more support with identifying different text structures.
Okay.
In informational text.
Okay.
So based on those results, she set up three different centers, each tailored to a different level of readiness.
So even within that familiar center's format, she was able to provide that individualized learning experience. I'm curious, what were the students doing in each center?
Well, the group that needed the most support, they started by meeting with the teacher.
Okay.
For a little mini lesson.
Okay.
On identifying text structures.
Okay.
They were looking for clues like signal words and graphic organizers that helped them categorize paragraphs based on their structure.
So it's great that she provided that direct instruction
right,
before they moved on to independent practice.
And to help scaffold that independent practice, she gave them keyword lists and highlighted examples to help them make those connections.
It's all about those layers of support.
It is. What about the other groups? Were they doing something similar?
That's a great question.
They were also working on sorting paragraphs by text structure.
Okay.
But the middle group, they didn't receive the keyword list.
Okay.
So they had to rely more on their own understanding of the concepts.
Okay.
And then the highest group got to work with even more complex text structures.
Nice.
And they had some choice in how they demonstrated their understanding.
Okay, cool.
They could either like write a paragraph explaining their thinking.
Okay.
Or create a video using an app called Seesaw. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the big question is, what does this all mean for us?
Yeah. One of the biggest takeaways for me is the power of assessment.
Okay.
You know, we often think of assessment as a way to like measure or judge.
Right.
But it can be so much more than that.
Okay.
When used effectively, assessment can be such a powerful tool for understanding where learners are starting from.
Right.
And what they need to succeed.
It's like that GPS analogy we talked about before.
Yes, exactly.
You need to know your starting point
right,
before you can chart the best route to your destination.
Exactly. And once we have that clear understanding of learners' needs,
yeah,
then we can start to think about how to personalize that learning experience. And that might involve modifying existing materials, creating new activities, or even just adjusting the way we interact with learners. We need to help learners understand that it's okay to be at different places in their learning journey.
And that growth and progress are what really matter.
Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep looking for those opportunities to personalize that learning experience.
Right.
Both for yourself and for others.
And as always, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
We'll see you next time.